am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, July 5th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. I hope you had a fantastic Independence Day weekend. These are strange times. Maybe we will sort of juxtapose them. I think we will begin. I don't know. Maybe this is a violation of the principle at work here, but maybe not. Maybe not. Just to start, I think Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest entry today is good stuff. I have said in the past, I've mentioned that my maternal grandmother, you know, I've told the story about how I realized at one point that even though she never preached, but the way that she lived, you know, I realized one day that she was the most Christ-like person I'd ever met or known. And just the way she lived. And so this entry I have in my marginal notes, her name. And particularly this passage, love is not ignorant of the existence of evil, but it does not take in as a calculating, does not take it in as a calculating factor. Apart from God, we do reckon with evil. Anyway, so without further ado, here's the entry. Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest, July 5th entry, at least in my edition. It's titled, Don't Calculate Without God. And he cites Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And this corresponds to a variety of other passages. But without getting into that, he has certain headings. Don't calculate without God. Don't calculate with the evil in view. And don't calculate with the rainy day in view. So here it is. Don't calculate without God. God seems to have a delightful way of upsetting the things we have calculated on without taking him into account. We get into circumstances which were not chosen by God, and suddenly we find we have been calculating without God. He has not entered in as a living factor. The one thing that keeps us from the possibility of worrying is bringing God in as the greatest factor in all our calculations. In our religion, it is customary to put God first, but we are apt to think it is an impertinence to put him first in the practical issues of our lives. If we imagine we have to put on our Sunday moods before we come near to God, we will never come near him. We must come as we are. Don't calculate with the evil in view. Does God really mean us to take no account of the evil? And then he quotes, "Love taketh no account of the evil." Love is not ignorant of the existence of the evil, but it does not take it in as a calculating factor, which in today's world is quite astonishing, because we're encouraged to participate, to adopt the Marxist view of things and to become a pinball in the Marxist dialectical conflict. So love is not ignorant of the existence of the evil, but it does not take it in as a calculating factor. Apart from God, we do reckon with evil. We calculate with it in view and work all our reasonings from that standpoint. This is how we're encouraged to behave in modern American society today. And religion is outmoded, and, you know, I'll get to that, you know, maybe drawing from Fukuyama's Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. You know, that was published 20 years ago, and he said things that were concerning then that sort of correspond to this. You know, as he opened the book, chapter one is titled "A Tale of Two Dystopias," and he compares and contrasts Orwell's 1984 and Huxley's Brave New World. But maybe we'll get into that in a bit here. The things that he posited are shocking, but this, I think, is the central salient point. Love is not ignorant of the existence of the evil, but it does not take it in as a calculating factor. Apart from God, we do reckon with evil. We calculate with it in view and work all our reasonings from that standpoint. In other words, we have a tendency to make it the greatest factor in all our calculations, as opposed to what Oswald Chambers is saying here. The one thing that keeps us from the possibility of worrying is bringing God in as the greatest factor in all our calculations. So to finish, he writes, don't calculate with the rainy day in view. You cannot lay up for a rainy day if you are trusting in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. God will not keep your heart from being troubled. It is a command. Let not. Haul yourself up 101 times a day in order to do it, until you get into the habit of putting God first and calculating with him in view. And not just in view, but, as he points out, as the greatest factor in all our calculations. That's today's entry. I think yesterday's definitely goes with it, one of God's great don'ts. Maybe I'll save that for later. But for now, I think James chapter 4 goes along with this. So maybe just a little bit of that. And then the other side of the discussion, if we're, you know, it's interesting We played the clip last week of Andrew Breitbart at the Heritage Foundation on his book tour, talking about his book, Righteous Indignation, Excuse Me While I Save the World. And he said, you know, he remembered in his American Studies feeling like, you know, he just wished there was, isn't there some, I don't want to read Rape Lit anymore. I don't want to read about rape. Isn't there a book somewhere that doesn't have haikus about rape? And so that's kind of the theme in some, you know, some versions are, and some entries are more subtle and some are more in your face. But that's kind of the overarching theme in the book. So I think, you know, this is in contrast to that. And this is sort of the biblical explainer of why that happens. And so I think, you know, all of this is, there's a certain confluence of subject matter. It's not just the Marxist ideology. It's not just critical theory. It's not just the communitarian view. It's also this biotech stuff. Like I said, Francis Fukuyama's Our Post-Human Future is one of the best treatises you can find on the bad guy side of the discussion about that. You know, today happens to be Dolly's birthday of all things. So it's a bit ironic, I think. On July 5, 1996, we heard about Dolly the sheep. Remember that? So the sheep that was cloned. So, you know, if you've seen Fukuyama's Our Post-Human Future, you know that he has all of those children. You know, it's all of those scenarios that we've been fed in sci-fi movies, for example, and books before, but, you know, and they're numerous, you know, films like Gattaca, for example, designer baby cloning and parts cloning and things. You know, maybe we could just have a farm of people that have been created in a petri dish running around in case I get into a car accident and, you know, I need a lung or a heart or something like that. And so we just borrow from one of these people that have been cloned or that have been genetically engineered in case we need parts or something. There's all kinds of interesting directions we could go, you know, with this. I thought it was interesting that 60 Minutes this weekend aired a couple of things. In their, what is it, the long deal that they do? I forget what they call it, but they aired a segment titled Looking Toward the Future, all about flying taxis and so on and so forth, stuff we've talked, I've mentioned it recently on this broadcast, you know, speaking of the port city Neom, Saudi Arabia's $500 billion city. $500 billion. You know, can you imagine a city that costs $500 billion? So, you know, since they announced it, they've wanted to have these flying taxis and stuff. And these guys in the 60 Minutes piece are talking about, oh, yeah, we should have it ready by 2024. These flying, in some cases, autonomous taxis. Interesting. So there was that segment, and then they re-aired the segment about the Ritchie Boys. They'd done a piece a few years ago, and then they did this new updated piece back in January, I think, and then re-aired it on Sunday. July 3rd. And so the Richie Boys discussion is interesting. Speaking of, you know, I mean, there's a lot of science that got exported, and then we wanted to re-import that science, much of it through Operation Paperclip. But one of the things that one of the Richie Boys talked about was, you know, we could identify the SS officers because they had their blood type tattooed under the on the, you know, inside of their left arm. And so, you know, it reminds me of this discussion of Dolly and so on and so on. But I'm getting ahead. I digress. So back to James chapter 4. In the NASB it reads, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you?" It's Marxism. Everywhere you look, Marx, Marx. Why so much Marx, as Professor Paul H. Fry said. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? I'm being facetious, obviously. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and murder is not always physical, obviously. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Are we double-minded these days? Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and that's a capital L, capital J in the NASB, the one, capital O, who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, and this I think is the correlation specifically to, or one of them anyway, correlation to today and even yesterday's entry in My Utmost for His Highest. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It's interesting stuff, especially in today's America. Aaron and Melissa Dykes published an interesting video, I think it was yesterday, about the Indian pogroms, I suppose, you know, the plight of the indigenous American people. And it's titled America's Early Civil Rights Case. You probably weren't taught. It's a fascinating little deal. And I agree with everything, except I think, you know, there's a contrast in what I just read to what is being advocated at the end of the video, but we're all advocating it in good faith, if you know what I mean, trying to do that. Anyway, probably talk more about that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. All right, now how about we dive into the awful? I mean, that's part of the fun of this broadcast and this network, right? You tune in because we have a tendency, you know, the hosts subject themselves to waiting, slogging through the cesspool of life, surrounded by awful books like I'm surrounded by. Not all awful, but, you know, the subject matter is all awful, so, generally speaking. For example, let's see, Terror Out of Zion, Population and Perspective, which is, I mean, it's fascinating. This stuff, I mean, if you do what Andrew Breitbart did and you just sort of go through the textbooks that the young people are being subjected to and have been for decades, like this one I've mentioned before, Population and Perspective, edited by Louise Young. This is from Oxford University Press. This is a textbook edited by Louise B. Young, Science Editor, American Foundation for Continuing Education. And a lot of these organizations were exposed by the Rees Committee. And they have a very nefarious agenda. And the Rees Committee was able to bring that to light in, I would say, very objective terms, which I think is wonderful and fascinating. But who's ever heard of the Rees Committee? So this book was published in 1968. It was a textbook for a while. Population and Perspective. What exactly does that mean? Well, it's it's kind of I don't know. It's the Malthusian handbook. You know, it's one of the Malthusian handbooks. So, you know, it literally begins. Part one is biological factors. The introduction is interesting, but the first chapter is the Malthusian laws, and it begins with Thomas Malthus' essay on the principle of population, and then all kinds of fun people from there. So, you know, it's the Malthusian's handbook. It's the why you need to understand that there are too many people and what we need to do about it kind of thing, you know. These days, I suppose, essays like Margaret Sanger's My Fight for Birth Control would be in view, obviously, because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And again, I think James in Vancouver's observation is spot on, in my humble estimation. So, birth control is a major subject. Beginning of the birth control movement. James Alfred Field, beginning of the movement in the United States. Marston Bates, My Fight for Birth Control, Margaret Sanger, The Pill, John Rock. But, you know, it's all in here, you could say. Part two is economic and political factors. Part three, religious and social factors. Like, every angle. Part four, prospects for the future. Kind of like the, the Rhodes Milner Roundtable groups. We are told, kind of like what they did. This is that kind of a textbook where, as Toynbee said, you know, they argued, they would take a subject or a topic or a point of view or whatever or something, you know, that they want to advance, and they would argue it and try to, you know, beat the truth into submission, essentially, with their diabolical talking points. And I think that practice has continued in all of these secret and semi-secret meetings at places like Davos that we know about and hear about, and things that issue forth from them, but that we're not, you know, the general public is not allowed to participate in. So books like that, books like this, The Nazi Seizure of Power, Experience of a Single German Town by William Sheridan Allen, and other fun books like that. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back.
No flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot
define. Welcome back. Day after Independence Day, and so July 5th, 2022, and again, as previously mentioned, the 26th anniversary, right, of the cloning of Dolly the sheep. And so we'll kind of talk about that. You know, that was shortly before the publication of Francis Fukuyama's Our Posthuman Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. And So, you know, I had a conversation over the weekend about big changes coming and how bad guys have said they want to change things so radically, so drastically, that it will dwarf the technological innovations over the last 150 years. And when you think about that, I mean, that includes everything. That includes trains, planes, and automobiles. It includes electricity, internal combustion engines. It includes running water and indoor plumbing. Obviously, you know, phones of all types, all types of long distance communication that we are aware of these days, you know, telephone, telegraph, all of that stuff, wired and wireless, television, radio, etc. So, you know, that's pretty big. So the conversation turns to, well, what are the changes? Because we don't need any more gadgets. Well, a lot of it is the Huxley, Brave New World kind of continual manipulation of the inner workings of man, psychologically, physiologically, etc. And I'll maybe get into some of that from Fukuyama's Our Post-Human Future. But first, I mentioned 60 Minutes, the episode this weekend, looking toward the future. How about 60 Minutes in 90 seconds? So here's the, if you didn't see it, or even if you did, here's the teaser, 90 seconds on what the 60 Minutes installment was about. Go ahead, please.
Tonight on this special edition of 60 Minutes presents Looking Toward the Future.
9 years of work, 7 minutes of terror.
He's talking about the descent and landing of the Perseverance rover on Mars.
Execute entry, descent, and landing on her own.
And there goes the descent stage. Big sigh of relief. I almost collapsed over this console.
Part of its mission, to drop off Ingenuity, a mini helicopter that would take off and navigate in the Martian atmosphere, much to NASA's delight.
So here's a little bit of a jump.
I mean, that's incredible.
There's a lot of incredible things going on at Boston Dynamics, a cutting-edge robotics company that 60 Minutes has been trying to get inside of for years.
This is inside Atlas's brain, and it shows its perception system. It's going to use that vision to adjust itself as it goes running over these blocks.
You are in control.
This is called an eVTOL, a clunky acronym for Electric Vertical Takeoff and Landing Aircraft.
You can really feel the wind up here.
In the near future, an entire industry hopes to have these electric vehicles available so you can soar over bumper-to-bumper traffic, and some for about the cost of an Uber.
And there you go. If you weren't familiar, you are now. So, the Perseverance rover, I don't think Mars is a real thing. Personally, I think it's, a Kubrick-esque, deal. And, Total Recall comes to mind, I guess. You know, is it your memory or something that you've been given? You know, is it a desert somewhere that's being filmed? Some kind of a sound stage somewhere. I'm just not buying it. So there's the Ingenuity helicopter, the search for ancient life on Mars, robots of the future, Boston Dynamics. You know, 60 Minutes has been trying to get into. How ironic, you know, to have Anderson Cooper hosting this. It's 60 Minutes presents. That's what the longer episodes are. So, Anderson Cooper, you know, of CNN infamy, I suppose. And I just think of Bill Cooper saying, you know, we've heard so much. I mean, you look at the lengths that have been gone to, you know, to give us the explainer of how intelligence tried to find Osama bin Laden. And it's pretty, everybody's compartmentalized. So, you know, everybody buys into the plausibly deniable narrative. But then, you know, someone like Bill Cooper comes and just shatters the narrative in a sentence, you know, when he says the greatest intelligence community in the entire, in the existence of the world, it has looked for Osama bin Laden and can't find him. And some doofus, you know what, reporter from CNN and a camera crew catch up with him in a cave somewhere. So that's what I think of when I hear Anderson Cooper say, we've been trying, 60 Minutes has been trying to get into, you know, Boston Dynamics for years. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't think it was time for, you know, they didn't have their rehearsal done and places, everyone. I don't know. Maybe that's my imagining, but that's just my speculation. So anyway, Boston Dynamics, and how long do you suppose it will be until Boston Dynamics makes something that competes in women's swimming events? Oh yeah, and men's swimming events. Because that's where that's all headed. You know, that's what the transgender thing is. It's the precursor to completely dehumanizing people further. You know, completely and totally. But also the sort of gateway to transhumanism, which is a gateway to posthumanism. And what do guys like Ray Kurzweil mean when they say posthuman? They mean, you know, basically the extinction of mankind as God created him. That sounds a lot like Genesis chapter 6 to me. You know, the Bible says there are eight folks who made it out of the flood alive. Peter reminds us, you know, it was Noah and his wife and their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. Why? I don't know. You know, all I can do is surmise based on what I read, particularly in places like Genesis chapter 6. And in the King James, if you go back to Genesis 6, but, you know, verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eye. Well, maybe we should back up. Verse 5 and forward. Well, how about verse 4? There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's an interesting combination of two verses back to back. And it repented the Lord, this is the King James, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And I've heard Baptist preachers, as I've mentioned in the past, have a field day with this. God was angry with man. I don't read that. I don't see that. The Lord was, in the NASB, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I think, you know, my assessment, I guess, if you will, is that obviously God was you know, the subjugation and destruction of mankind and individual folks was not beyond view for God. And so to see this happening and to watch, you know, someone you love essentially be destroyed is heartbreaking. So continuing, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created on the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But why everything? Why destroy everything? And I think Boston Dynamics comes to mind. You know, isn't it fascinating how, you know, there's no creativity in this technocratic cybernetic milieu. It's all counterfeiting of things that God has created. And if you look at the things that AI creates, generally speaking, if it's completely, you know, just innovate, just do something very innovative and change this, it's always, it just looks dark and evil and aberrant. There's nothing creative that I've seen so far. It's all counterfeiting. So verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Is there violence today? I thought the UN, United Nations, was supposed to usher in the heralding of the age of peace. It was the dawn of the era of peace, right? Unprecedented peace. So we were told, and since the United Nations has been in existence, there's been more war than you could argue than at any other time in creation. And who's been at the forefront of that? Who's been the tip of that spear, the proxy tip of that spear? You know, where is the trillion dollar a year military industrial complex headquartered? The earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Huh. And there are parallel passages. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11 is generally considered the hall of faith, so to speak. And 1 Peter 3:20. It's interesting stuff. So, you know, I think of Boston Dynamics, you know, and the, you know, everything old is new again kind of thing. Nothing new under the sun. And it seems like there's this effort to corrupt all flesh again, precisely as Francis Fukuyama wrote in Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, with all these designer babies on the cover. And, you know, it's really interesting when you start diving into just the things that have been all around us. Speaking of, you know, this subject matter, the 60 Minutes stuff and the other episode that they aired concerning the Ritchie Boys, that definitely figures in prominently as well historically. 60 Minutes Presents, they did that episode January 3rd, 2022. But there was the other one from April of 2004. It's, you know, it's kind of the same subject matter. It's interesting. So without getting too far afield, because we're headed into a break, William Pearl was one of the Ritchie Boys, protege of the revisionist Zionist movement. I talked about that last week. Of Vladimir Jabotinsky. And there's more to say on him. William Sloan Coffin. I think Coffin is ironic. Is that his given name, really? William Sloan Coffin was Yale Skull and Bones. Homosexual rights activist. Victor Brombert was Yale, Princeton. Was he Skull and Bones, too? Was the post-World War II denazification, cultural Marxist connection. A lot of cultural Marxism. There's a lot of, you know, the Richie boys, in a sense, were kind of the paperclip conduit for, you know, kind of the Nazification of the Western world, essentially. So anyway, it's interesting, speaking of all of this and the cultural Marxist bent, and the perfectibilists are at work in here, if you understand that. You know, the perverted concept of perfecting man. Rather than the, you know, biblical Christian way, we can perfect him by destroying him through perversion and so forth. But it's actually ultimately not supposed to perfect man. Is supposed to result in his ultimate demise. People don't seem to realize that, but you know, if you follow the perfectibilists out to the, you know, the critical end of their thought, it doesn't. It's a short trip to realizing that. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me
till you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back.
My brother.
Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. A little bit of housekeeping. The Richie Boys documentary was published back in 2004, but the 60 Minutes episode aired first aired January 2nd, 2022. I think I said that, but I was sort of, I don't know, it sounded muddled. The documentary was 2004. And so this 60 Minutes Presents episode aired January 2nd of this year, 2022, and then was re-aired this past weekend, January 3rd. Hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, to the phones, Glenn in Pennsylvania. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. Hi.
Morning.
So many topics, a little time, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Got to hand it to that Professor Philip J. Fry. He was definitely right. The commies are everywhere. You know,
Paul H. Yeah, definitely.
Professor
Paul H. Fry.
Oh, I only know Philip J. Fry. No, never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right.
I guess I'm watching the wrong stuff. You mentioned something about Bill Cooper, and I've always had this question mark about him now because I seem to remember Alan Watt saying something about how basically, like, he sold the Patriots and the right-wingers and the Second Amendment advocates and stuff down the river by, claiming that, travesties of various sorts were those crazy, gun-toting Patriots, he had made some remarks that basically sold out, the Second Amendment right-wingers. Do you know anything about this?
No, not specifically. Unfortunately, I can't speak to it directly. But I think it's interesting, that may be true. I don't know for sure, but, I have mentioned that article that Vice article about Bill Cooper, the strange true story of the Godfather conspiracy theories. And, it featured, Pale Horse writer William Cooper and the rise of conspiracy and the fall of trust in America, Mark Jacobson's book, which is designed entirely to, discredit Bill Cooper posthumously. So I wonder why such lengths have been gone to marginalize and discredit Bill Cooper posthumously.
Right. I don't ascribe that much to it, but I forget if it was in the wake of Oklahoma City it might have been that.
We should look into that. I don't know. Probably find it now in Watts archives.
Right. I typically don't comment on a lot of that stuff, and I don't want to.
Can you hang around? Second hour?
Yeah.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back, right after this short break.
Feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.